Our Old Testament lesson today is from 1 Kings 19, verses 4 to 12. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. But Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." And he looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank and stayed in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as he went to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave where he spent the night. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." So God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now suddenly there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came the sound of sheer silence. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Open our hearts and minds to your presence. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So Elijah has just come from a great contest between he and the prophets of Baal. On one side, the prophets of Baal are gathered to call upon their God to bring down fire upon their altar. And on the other side, there's Elijah. And the prophets of Baal call upon their God and nothing happens. Elijah calls upon God. And not only does fire come down and light the altar, but it lights all of the water that was poured on it and all around it. It's a great moment of triumph for Elijah. But a moment that didn't last. When Queen Jezebel, the devotee of Baal, heard that Elijah had won this contest and then killed all of her prophets afterward, she took an oath to kill Elijah. She says to Elijah, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow." And in a great understatement in the Bible, it says Elijah was afraid. Elijah was in serious trouble when he ran away. This is why he sat down under the tree, lay down, and just gave up on life itself. Elijah is down. He is depressed. And most of us know how he feels, don't we? Haven't we all been there? Down, depressed, defeated. Maybe you feel that way right now. I think many people do, right in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic. When we're isolated and separated, when we're alone, and when people are sick and dying from this virus, we have reason to be down, depressed. Elijah had lots of reasons to be down and depressed too. He is surrounded and chased by enemies. He is exhausted after this contest with these other prophets of Baal. He is burned out as God's prophet. And he's overwhelmed that now he's run into the wilderness and he's alone. I wonder, have you ever had those feelings of being surrounded by enemies? Maybe being exhausted or burned out or just overwhelmed by life itself? I think we've all been there too. If you've been there, you're not alone. People all throughout the Bible get into these states of being so down, so depressed. In fact, all of God's people, all of the Israelites got to that spot. After escaping Egypt and seeing the Red Sea part, they went out into the wilderness and realized, we have no food. And instead of trusting in God's provision, they got down. They got depressed. They told Moses, it would have been better for you to just leave us in slavery than to die out here of hunger. Moses even gets down and depressed in Numbers 11. He gets so frustrated after leading the people of God that he tells God, just take away my life. There are people all throughout the Bible that feel this way, the way Elijah felt. And when we feel this down, it isn't wrong. It isn't a sign of failure. It's just honest, brutally honest. And you know what happens when we are that honest before God? God shows up. God meets us right where we are, especially when we are barely hanging on. Look at this story. What does God do for Elijah? One thing he doesn't do is God doesn't say, stop your whining and complaining. Instead, God responds to him. God provides for Elijah. God sends angels to bring food and drink. God prepares him for a 40-day spiritual journey to Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, where Moses receives the Ten Commandments. God provides for him. Once Elijah reaches that cave at Mount Horeb, God does say, what are you doing here, Elijah? And that's when Elijah again tells God just how desperate he is. I've been zealous for you, but now they are seeking to take away my life. In other words, I've been your prophet, and now I'm exhausted. It's just over. That's when God tells Elijah to stand on the mountain and the Lord will pass by. And that's when that great wind comes and the Lord is not in the wind. That's when the earthquake happens and the Lord is not in the earthquake. That's when a fire appears and the Lord is not in the fire. And finally, that's when there is the sound of sheer silence. The sound of sheer silence, and that is God. Many of us know the King James Version of this, the sound of a still, small voice. Why the different translations? Well, the Hebrew can be translated in different ways, but it means a sound and also silence, stillness, something soft and quiet. And it's in contrast to the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. For Elijah, God is not in those great pyrotechnics of nature. God is in the stillness, the quiet, the silence. After God feeds and encourages Elijah with that divine presence, Elijah is able to return as a prophet. He has the energy he needs to pass the mantle of prophecy to Elisha and to see the defeat of the evil King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. But in this story, we learn that silence is so powerful. If you think about it, some of the most powerful things happen in silence. Jesus was raised from the grave, raised from death in silence. No big fanfare of nature. Silence is sometimes where God shows up very powerfully. Now, we know that God does appear all throughout the Bible in big, loud ways, like a burning bush or the parting of the Red Sea or the tongues of fire and the great wind at Pentecost. But God also appears in the silence, in the quiet. What does it mean to you that God appears in the silence? When have you heard from God? When things were quiet and still? Do you know Psalm 46? In Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." I love those words. Be still and know that I am God. What does that say to you? What does that mean to you? How can you be still and know that God is God and God is for you? This story also reminds us that God is just a surprising God. Elijah probably expected to see God in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, and instead God comes in the silence. God is surprising. God shows up in unexpected ways. It kind of reminds me of our story last week when Jesus used 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed over 5,000 people. Talk about surprising. But that's God. That's our God. God is surprising. God does show up in unexpected ways. And God definitely shows up when we are down, when we are depressed, when we want to give up on everything around us and maybe even on life itself. So what about taking time? What about taking time to be quiet and be still? How could we do that today, this week? How can you take time to be quiet and still and listen for God? Listen for that experience of God. That's what we learn in this story, that God shows up in the silence, in the quiet. In the devotional, Jesus Calling on August 6th, that says this: "Sit quietly in my presence while I bless you. Make your mind like a pool of water, ready to receive whatever thoughts I drop into it. Rest in my sufficiency as you consider the challenges this day brings, and do not wear yourself out by worrying about whether you can cope with all the pressure." I love that. Make your mind like a pool of water so that God can just drop thoughts into it. How can we do that today? How can we sit still long enough in the quiet, in the silence, to hear from God? For friends, that is our good news today. And for that, all God's people say, Amen.